Well, it's good to be with you this fine morning. Even though it's a holiday weekend, I see we're a little sparse of Davises specifically this morning. But nonetheless, we have an opportunity to worship our God, to look into His Word, and we pray the Lord will bless you and help us as we get through His Word this morning. We'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 1. For context's sake, we're looking at verses 15 through 23. But for intent, we're looking at verses 18 and 19 mostly. There's a place where we can go to find absolute truth, and God's word is faithful and true, that you can build your life for an eternity upon God's faithful, inerrant, and infallible word. This is God's word for us this morning. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and glorious Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power, dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we think about these verses this morning. Lord God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that we can come and gather together to support one another and encourage one another. We thank You that Your word is powerful and effective, that it cuts between bone and marrow and accomplishes Your purpose. And we pray, Lord, that that purpose would be accomplished this morning. Be with us, guide us through Your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You might be able to tell I'm just a little hoarse, so bear with me. I'll start with a question. Who are you? Who are you? Maybe you're a father or a mother, sister, brother, son, daughter. Maybe you think of yourself as old, young, maybe, athletic. Maybe kind of a geek, I don't know. Optimist, pessimist. Where's that glass? Is it half full or half empty? Maybe you're rich or poor. Maybe you're hopeful or discouraged. Well, Paul here writes this letter to the church in Ephesus to encourage them in their discouragement, to show them hope in the midst of struggles that they might be having with sin. And each of us struggles here on this earth with sin, and it can be discouraging. Whether it's temptation, injustice, relationship problems, raising children can be a challenge and discouraging at times. They might be rebellious. Marriage problems struggle in school, pain, sickness, loss. So many things in this world that can be discouraging. But Paul writes to give hope in the midst of our discouragement. There's a story of William Randolph Hearst back in the 30s who read an article on this piece of art. And he was very excited and he wanted to purchase it because he was very rich. And he had his art agent do some research to find this work of art because he wanted to purchase it. And his art agent went out looking for months. There was no Google or anything like that back then, right? Back in the 30s. So he searched for months to find this work of art that he wanted. And he ended up coming back to Mr. Hearst and said, "I found it. It's in your warehouse. You already have that work of art. You didn't even know." And I think that's kind of what Paul is saying to the church in Ephesus a little bit. Remember what you have. Maybe you've lost the knowledge somehow of what you have in Christ, of the hope that awaits you after this world. Maybe you can't see it because the things of this world can be so discouraging at times. But Paul wants you to know, and he wants the church in Ephesus to know here, and us, what we have in Christ this morning. The theme of our text this morning is enlightening your hope. We're going to look at three aspects of that theme. First of all, its powerful source. Secondly, its powerful knowledge. And third, its powerful person. A lot of power going on. Source, knowledge, and person. With all that power. So let's look a little deeper here. Its powerful source. Paul, he knew where to go to find help, to find hope. And he prays for the Ephesians that the only source of hope and purpose and meaning is found in God alone. This world will try to show us a variety of things that can give you maybe temporary satisfaction or hope, but it's not real hope. I mean, what is hope to begin with? Hope is this great confidence of your future. And what source do you lay that great confidence in? Do you lay it in yourself or other things? Or do you lay it in God Himself? And that's where true hope comes from. Your faithful covenant God is the only one who can give you the true hope that you need for an eternity. Where do we go for hope? Where do you go for hope? What's your source that you go to for hope and meaning? Some people go to their career and find maybe that's where they'll find this great hope. Maybe it's their retirement fund. That's what's going to give them great hope. Maybe it's their friends or their marriage or relationships, whatever it might be. Looking for hope in all these different places. But your true hope is only found in God Himself. And sometimes that's the last place that we go to find hope. You know, I was just thinking about how sometimes when you're working on something and trying to fix something and you get frustrated because it's not being fixable. It can be very frustrating. Or you're looking for something that's lost and you can't find it. And sometimes the last place that we go to is to the Lord. I don't know about you, but I find that in my life. It's like, finally, I can't find it. I can't fix it. I don't know what's going on. Lord, help me. And then all of a sudden, something gets fixed, or you find what you were looking for. Where do you go to? Paul goes to the great source. He knew where to go to find help. And it's a powerful source. I don't know if you looked at verse 19. There are four Greek words for power in verse 19. It's kind of stunning. The incomparably great power, that's dunamis, where we get dynamite. For us who believe, that power, that word is energeia, it's energy, where we get the word energy. And then he goes on to say this, the working, which is another word, kratos. And then he talks about might, which is iskus. He's emphasizing something here. Did you get that? In one verse, you get four words for power. And indeed, he's looking to give the church power, to see the power that they have in Christ. He's the only one that can give them what they need. He's the creator. He's the life giver. How powerful is God? It's pretty powerful. He created all things. He created you. You might think, well, how powerful am I? How powerful are you? I've been going to this CrossFit thing, which has been an adventure for me. And it's often we have these things we call PRs. I don't know if you've ever heard that before. It's that personal record, right? Where you achieve something you hadn't achieved before. But I'm telling you, those PRs are literally nothing. I mean, those are pipsqueak records compared to what God is, right? You don't have to look far to see in the verses right after our text to see how powerful we are. Chapter 2, verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Well, that's not very powerful. I don't know how much a dead person can lift, but I'm assuming it's not much. And until you see that you're dead, until you see your need for a Savior, there's no power. This world is empty without Christ. If you've ever seen the bumper sticker, the ones with the most toys wins or whatever, that's a lie. There's nothing in this world that can satisfy your need except for Christ. The only source of hope and meaning and purpose, the only source of life itself, truly, is found in Christ and Him alone. Everything that this world will continue to offer you and give you is empty, and it's a lie. Because that hole that's in your heart can only be filled with Christ. Well, the second point is it's powerful knowledge. Paul wants the eyes of your heart to be enlightened for knowledge. Did you see that in verse 18? I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance. The eyes of your heart. I don't know about you, but I haven't seen many eyes on hearts. What's Paul talking about here? This isn't just an intellectual knowledge that 2 + 2 = 4, that Jesus died and rose again, that I know that. This is a heart knowledge that you can see with your heart. Kind of like that Pharisee beating his chest far away from the temple even, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. He knew in his heart that he was a sinner and he needed a Savior. This is that heart knowledge that he's talking about, that you can see with your heart and know what God has done for you. The hope that you have, the riches that you have, the power that you have because of him. That's powerful knowledge. First of all, the hope. Do you know, do you know the hope that he has called you? Hope for sin, hope in the midst of temptation, hope in the midst of your friendships and relationships, hope for your marriage, for your children, for your church, for your dreams. Adam had hope that someone would come to crush the serpent's head, as God had promised. He looked forward with hope that someone would crush that serpent's head. Abraham looked forward to one who would come, who would make his descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand of the seashore. He looked forward with great hope. David looked forward with great hope that one would come who would establish a kingdom that wouldn't just be a temporary kingdom, but an everlasting kingdom. Hope. That knowledge that they had in their hearts. The eyes of their heart were enlightened to see what was waiting for them in the future that's only found in Christ. Jesus also had great hope, did he not? And for the hope that he set before him, what did he endure? He endured the cross. The cross. It's amazing how it can be such a symbol of hope and yet so disgusting. A torturous death, bloody, terrible. And yet God chose that to give you and me hope. The cross of Christ. He endured it for the hope he set before him, which is your and my salvation. That his righteousness was put on you, and your sin was put on him. Riches. We talked about hope, that knowledge of that hope. How about some knowledge of some riches here? That you may know the hope for which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. What is this glorious inheritance? Do you know that? Do you know the glorious inheritance you have? Do you think, oh, I can't wait to get my inheritance? Well, this is a glorious inheritance. But you have it right now. The richest person in the world, I think, right now is Elon Musk. Recently, I looked at how much he's worth, and it's quite a bit. I think was it $240 billion. I can't even fathom that much money. But he is poor compared to you and your glorious inheritance in the saints. Because you're a saint. You're declared righteous because of what Christ has done for you. It's an eternal hope and eternal riches that blow away anything this world could possibly give. Well, the third thing in this powerful knowledge is indeed power itself. He says it in these verses. The hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Now you have power that maybe you haven't tapped into before. Power in temptation. Power in your marriage. Power with your children. Power with the pain that life might bring you. The loss. God has given you this through his Spirit. See, salvation doesn't happen when you die. Salvation happens when you believe. That's when you start eternity. It doesn't happen after you're gone. That might be the fruition of what you believed. But that belief happens the moment you trust in Christ alone for your salvation. He gives strength in weakness. You and I already have this power. Philippians talks about it in Philippians 2. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May your eyes be open to see who you are in Christ. This great hope and riches and power that come from knowing him. This great source. Which kind of points us to the third point of this powerful person. Many believers today live hope-deprived lives. Which seems ironic. It's a shame. They feel powerless. They feel small. They feel alone. Life is hard and their problems are big. It might be difficult to have hope in the midst of whatever situation you have going on. I don't want to discount the troubles that are in your life. But God is so much bigger than any sin, than any problem, any difficulty you might be going through in this life. He's so much bigger. It's difficult to have hope, but I think we don't have a hope problem. We have a sight problem. We don't see this person who gives us hope. Because hope isn't a thing. It's not an idea. It's not a circumstance. Hope is a person. Hope is only found in Christ and him alone. And there is nothing that can get in the way of him loving you and saving you. It's only found in Christ. He's the author and perfecter of our faith. Your only hope, your only riches, your only power are found in Jesus. And you already have that greatest hope fulfilled in Christ. If he lives in you, if you believe and trust in him, you got that already. You don't have to look for it like William Randolph Hearst. You already got it. Second Timothy 2, I wanted to read a verse here. Second Timothy 2:8 says, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel for which I am suffering. Remember. Don't forget the greatness of this person who gave himself for you. And that nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ. famine, persecution, even death, none of it can stop him. And the hope that you have in the inheritance in the saints. Don't forget your enlightened hope in Christ. Don't forget, like Hurst did with his forgetting he even had what he was looking for. Remember Jesus Christ, him crucified. May God help you to see your hope and riches and power in the person of Jesus Christ. And that, how that can affect your life today, tomorrow, and for an eternity. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, as we look to you, we acknowledge that we are weak. I know I am weak, but you are strong. Help us, Lord, in our struggle to see the hope, the power that only you can give us through Christ. May we not esteem the things of this world, but put the weight and value of our lives in you and you alone. Help us through your Spirit. Strengthen us to serve and glorify you. And thank you so much for what you've done for us in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.